Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad you've joined in to our program today to listen to our discussion. On our program, we'll be continuing with our interview that we started last week with Chris Hudson. Chris Hudson has been in town for the past few weeks, offering a seminar, a lecture series, a prophecy series, looking at world events through the eyes of the scriptures. For those of you who tuned in to our program last week, you have heard part one of our discussion, and he's been on a couple of our programs over the past month or so. So, Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And just to recap a little bit about our last week's discussion, we were talking about the globalization we see taking place in the world, the new world order, the new economic order, and how it's impacting us, and how the scriptures prophesied that this would take place. And the prophecies of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel 7, and throughout the book of Revelation, these scriptures talk about how the world at the end would come together under a new, not using that terminology, new world order, but rather that the events we see taking place fit into what prophecy has had to say.
Yes.
And we also looked in briefly at the ecumenical movement taking place, you know, within the churches. You know, because we spend a significant amount of time looking at the political world, how it's coming together, and we mentioned briefly about the ecumenical movement within the
right.
churches. So maybe you want to start with that a little bit, Chris. And as we go through the program, we're going to talk about how the music industry and the entertainment industry feeds into this to support what's taking place in the world.
Right. I believe in the last program we have discussed the fact how. Rick Warren at a Davos meeting mentioned that the future for the nations of our world is actually religious pluralism, the coexistence, the unification even of religious bodies coming together, harmonizing on points of doctrine which, you know, are held by each one in common, and just trying to find that common platform. And we see, you know, in the news, I think everybody really sees how faith is playing a huge role in politics all over. we see that with the role that the Muslim faith is playing in geopolitics. We see that with the role of now even Christianity, especially. It's very, very clear to see in American politics. People like Sarah Palin, and even the last march that Glenn Beck did on Washington, big rally, and they made, you know, he was saying how faith needs to be brought back to the nation, faith, you know. And I'm a Christian, and I believe in the necessity of people holding to their faith in God, but I do also understand the absolute danger of the unification of church with state.
And it was interesting because a reporter actually asked that question when Beck and Palin were involved in this march. And they said, aren't you treading onto the ground of, you know, the unification of church and state?
Mm-hmm.
And their response was, well, this is simply religious. There's absolutely nothing political about this. And I thought to myself, well, I think they understand where they're going.
Of course.
And they're kind of standing behind that garb of, well, no, we're keeping church and state separate here. But how could that be?
Of course. I mean, these are political figures, you know. Yeah, this is, there's no doubt about it, like you're saying. They know exactly what they're doing. And frankly, it's very sinister for them to even say, like, you know, this is not church and state.
Yeah, keep themselves at a
distance. Yeah. but clearly, even as they're trying to put, you know, Sarah Palin up as the leader of the Tea Party movement, this is something that we all need to be taking notice of, because they realize that to bring about a situation in which all the nations can be united, you know, Rick Warren talks about it, and the three-legged stool has to be developed. You know, you have capitalism, you know, you have finance, and you have government, but then there's the faith factor. Mm-hmm. And if you don't bring in the faith factor, then you don't have a system that can stand. Yeah. So that's the other leg of that stool to be able to make this thing really work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too, because the scriptures talk about the threefold unification,
right?
The scriptures, beast, and the false prophet.
That's,
you know,
right.
The dragon, you know, the Satan, the papacy, and the United States.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, all three have to work together in fulfillment of the scriptures to bring this thing about.
That's it. So the Bible said it.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yes.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the, you know, we spoke about fear in the last program as well.
Right.
It's interesting. When people are feared, where do they go? You know, I saw in the news, and you being a New Yorker.
Right.
You know, when 9/11 took place,
oh,
you know, what happened to the churches?
Oh.
They were full.
It was amazing. You know, I used to go to prayer meeting at a particular church faithfully. Every Wednesday night, there would be about 5 people there. Mm-hmm. 9/11 hit, it was packed. You know, they had to bring chairs out to put in the rows. It was mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah,
yeah.
So
they, and, you know, and it's great mm-hmm. that, you know, people, you know, go to church, you know, in
right.
those situations. Now, you know, people should always, you know, have a faithful worship, you know, no
yes.
matter what the circumstances
yes.
are, whether in good times or bad.
Right.
But it's interesting, you know, fear drives people to church, and the unification of, you know, political, the church and state, you know,
right.
it's, you know, how deceptive is that?
That's good. You know, when I think about that too, is you said that, you know, yeah, people came to church after the 9/11 event, but mm-hmm. when everything got better again, quote unquote better again, the numbers dwindled again,
mm-hmm.
Which shows you that although fear can work to move the people, it's not a factor that has that, it's not a stable factor. I think that's the best way I can say it right now. It only works for but so long. So there has to be something more than fear to bring the people together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is trying to bring us all together, and he's trying to bring us all together with love. You know, love is eternal. You know, when you have a bond that is established off of love, you know, mm-hmm. nothing can destroy that. It will always be safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're looking at the nations coming together, and the reason is they're promoting fear. We fear that if we don't all come together, then our financial systems won't be on a stable basis. If we don't all come together, then the environment is at jeopardy. You know, if we don't all come together, everything, the impetus behind everything here is fear. And yeah, you can see that, yeah, it may work for a time, but it's all going to come crumbling down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you also have this idea where people are backed in the corner when you say, if you're not for me, you're against me.
Right.
I mean, you hear that out of the, you know, we heard that out of, you know,
right.
Bush. You know, if you're not for us, you're against us.
That's
you know,
right.
So if you're not for the unification, you're against it. You know,
right,
it's,
right.
You know, you can't pigeonhole people into like black and white, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, thinking minds, you know, right. see through it and say, well, there's a middle road here. There's, you know, it's not just what you're saying. You know, it's not just these two options.
Yes.
So.
And yeah. then you said thinking minds, and then that goes to now, well, beyond, because these individuals are so intelligent and they're so intent on bringing into fruition their designs, they're working from a multitude of avenues, or they're working through a multitude of avenues to ensure that their goal is reached in a short period of time from us right now sitting here doing this program. And I bring that to the forefront because you said thinking people. And so thinking people, they're trying to educate these people to accept the belief system that they are upholding, their ideologies as to why we need to have a one world government structure with mm-hmm. all of these different amenities attached to it. So and that kind of brings us into the subject matter that we're talking about discussing in this program, dealing with what role that the entertainment industry, media and so forth plays in the development of this new world order, because media is before we even get into the entertainment industry, I think it should, by this time, it should really be common knowledge that they've been using the media as a propaganda machine throughout the ages for, you know, and this is across the board.
There's nothing new.
Yeah, this is not a new thing. You know, when we were getting ready to go to war in the United States, you know, people would go to the movie theater and they would show these films with men going to war and, you know.
Yeah, support the troops. Yeah. You know, this is the cause.
Get you pumped up. Or when the Cold War is going on between us and Russia, then almost all the films had to deal with American soldiers going against the commies. You know, that was it. You know, you had Rambo or you had all these interesting films that really were planting the seed of hatred. Mm-hmm. In the hearts of Americans against communism. I'm not an adherent to communist print ideologies by any stretch of the imagination, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, we can see clearly that there was propaganda mm-hmm. coming through the media using mm-hmm. Hollywood mm-hmm. to push their designs.
And it makes sense that they would use mm-hmm. the media, the entertainment industry,
yes.
because I mean, if what we see taking place is a global situation, how are you going to reach the masses?
Right.
You know, what brings people together?
That's
you know,
right.
certainly fear brings them together. But,
yes.
you know, you put a big name rock band downtown, you're going to get out the masses.
That's
and if
it.
You want to preach something through this band to the group of people, that's your venue. That's your opportunity.
It. That is it. And interesting enough, this brings in another group that holds interest in seeing this new world order come into fruition. And this interest group actually has its headquarters within the United Nations. We spoke about the United Nations in the last program, how the present Pope Benedict XVI in his encyclical letter was saying that there needs to be a reform of the United Nations so that it could have real teeth to push a global political agenda and you know, the New World Economic Order and so forth. And even G.W. Bush in that soundbite that we played
last program.
Right, he said, you know, he speaks of the U.N. reaching its goals and they're talking about the New World Order. So here you have the political faction, U.S. and you have religious faction being the papacy, and now another spiritual faction is the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
They have their headquarters within the United Nations. The meditation room that's in the United Nations for everybody there was one that was placed there by this group called the New Age movement, and it's very interesting. The woman that started the organization that's within the United Nations now, her name is Alice A. Bailey. The name of the organization is called Lucius Trust. It was formerly known as Lucifer's Trust. Alice A. Bailey was actually a student of the teachings of Madame Blavatsky. Now, Madame Blavatsky's teachings were studied by Adolf Hitler himself. You know, wow. when they went into the bunker where they found Adolf Hitler, you know, mm-hmm. on his bedside table was Madame Blavatsky's book. All wow. right. And, what's so interesting about this is that Adolf Hitler was the first one to use that slogan, the New World Order.
Wow. It goes back even
that right. That's what I'm trying to say. It really all interlocks with one another. This is not something new. Now bringing it back up to present day, they believe in the development of a new world order. I'm speaking of Lucius Trust, the organization that was started by Alice A. Bailey. Alice A. Bailey herself, in her writing, stated that she believes that this is a benevolent conspiracy being promulgated by political progressives. You know, so she looks at these individuals that are in government at this time and that were in leading positions at that time as men that were politically progressive in helping to push what was completely in line with their spiritual ideologies. And if you listen to the name of their organization, Lucius Trust, formerly known as Lucifer's Trust, I think that you would realize that their spiritual ideologies may be questionable to the average individual.
Mm-hmm.
This lady states that through the organizations known as the Freemasons, particularly, that they hold in pictorial representations and in symbolisms and in metaphors the key to how humanity, quote unquote, can evolve. And when she talks about evolving, how we can become like God without God. And how this all can be done under the all-seeing eye. Mm-hmm. This is her words. It's very interesting statements here. And I know it sounds really sketchy and broken up. But within her book, she wrote volumes of books. Within her books, one of them being... I'm not even going to state the book because I don't want to encourage anybody to go out there and check it out. But she has some stratagem by which... She believes that if the nations of our world were to follow these things, they would be able to develop a new world order, the same type of new world order that the Pope was speaking about and that G.W. Bush is speaking about and
Henry Kissinger
and Gordon, all of them, exactly. Mm-hmm. She said that if they followed these stratagem, that they would be able to come up, you know, be successful. And one of the stratagem was to use the media and music to produce mass opinion that is completely in line with their agenda. And also that these various spiritualist organizations, occult organizations, that their teachings would be used, embedded in the media and in the entertainment to try to help color the thinking of the people to accept something like this.
Yeah. So what are some of the specific things you would see or you'd expect to see within the entertainment or the music industry that would draw people in like that? Or the subliminal messages.
And that's what it really is. It's the subliminal messages. Well, what you would see is various symbols that they use within the occult. All right. Various symbols that they use within the occult. And what they do is because the average individual like you and myself, that probably doesn't know anything about this stuff, and especially the Christian that wants to have nothing to do with this stuff, what they do is they'll present the symbols and then within the format that they're presenting the symbols, be it a music video, cartoon, whatever, they will also connect it to one of the characteristics that they say that symbol is symbolic of in their belief system. So, for instance, they believe that people should be free to have sexual relationships without any type of marital relationship being involved. And so they'll present the symbol in a situation where, you know, the principles of promiscuity are being promoted. And so your mind will connect promiscuity with that symbol. Mm-hmm. And then all they have to do is repetitively put the symbol before you so that your subconscious mind calls up the character trait that was connected to the symbol until it reworks your, you know, repetition. Mm-hmm. That's it. Repetition. And so we've actually been seeing things like that going on right now. I'll give some good examples in a second, but I don't know. It seemed like you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah. Oh, no, because I'm thinking that not only is it in the visual media,
right,
but the music industry itself, you know, within the, you know, the message of the music, not just the music itself,
yes,
but the type of musical beat, you know, I mean, it all seems to come into play. It all works together, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, people, most of us don't realize that the real message sometimes is not in what the person is saying, but it is in the composition, the music itself. You know, music is a very powerful means of communication. There are certain types of music that are scientifically just not music.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't follow the proper scheme of music. Music is highly advanced mathematics, some would say. Mm. And if you don't follow the right if you don't follow the right help me out here.
Yeah. Well, music is just not something that impacts your ears.
Right.
You know, we have the frontal lobe for reasoning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, music enters us in so many different ways, you know, that, you know, whether it's, you know, subliminally we're absorbing it,
yes,
or whether it's the beat of the music.
Mm-hmm.
But music has an impact on us, on our emotions, on the way we think, you
yes
know? You take a dramatic movie and you take away the soundtrack, it has no effect on
that's
you.
That's right.
You add the soundtrack and you crank the volume up on it, and all of a sudden it has people moving and swaying.
Case in point, silent movies.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because it was only music that you would hear,
mm-hmm,
but everybody knew exactly what was going on in the scenes because the music was really conveying to you the emotion of what the actors were trying to portray to us. That's right. That's true. Uh-huh.
And, you know, you take an emotional movie that would drive people to tears.
Right.
If you took away the soundtrack from that movie, people would sit there and they'd be bored.
Right. Right.
They wouldn't have the same, you know, it gets into our emotions, into our
right
mind, you know, and it bypasses us, not just our ears, that are the channel, the conduit into our
yes
body.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And we just see a new dynamic. We see a new dynamic within the music industry and so forth. And, you know, I speak on these things as well for people out there. I've actually was prior to me getting into the Bible and doing all these things, I was in the industry. And you realize that these are, especially like a music video or, you know, these things are produced in controlled environments. So what happens is not just, you know, coincidental. It's not just slapped together. These things were scripted out. So there is a particular message that is being presented to you in any video or any music that you're listening to, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Now you mentioned some of the specific examples that you could share. You know, I'd mm-hmm love to hear some of them.
Well, first off, I want to look at an artist. Let me just touch on one that may be familiar to some people, but his name is Jay-Z. And the reason I bring him up right now is because Jay-Z, this is a guy, you know, that comes from a fairly meek upbringing, you know, from the same city that I'm from, New York. He's a hip hop artist. And yeah, sure, he's a successful hip hop artist, but then you see Jay-Z start hanging around guys like Bill Gates and Kofi Annan mm-hmm at the United Nations. I mean, how does that happen? You know, mm-hmm, like Kofi Annan just walked into the studio one day while he was laying down a track. You know, it's
an unlikely encounter.
Yeah. You know, how does something like that transpire? And then when you begin to look on his clothing line or in, listen to the lyrics of his music, look at the media presentations in which he, you know, presents some of his different music, you'll see all of these occult symbols. I mean, it's amazing. You know, phrases from guys like Aleister Crowley, a known Satanist, do what thou wilt. He's wearing these things. You'll see the all-seeing eye on his clothing. You'll see different phrases that are used within the Freemasons on his clothing, you know, masters of the craft, and they have all this symbology. And then where does this stuff come from? You know, what does this have to do with
the music or their art that you're trying to,
exactly.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it. And then maybe like Lady Gaga, another interesting figure, you know, who just has, it's amazing. It's almost everything she does. You'll see this occult symbolism in it. Mm-hmm. And then you have individuals like Oprah Winfrey in the last Vanity of Fair saying that Lady Gaga is a spiritual as well as a cultural leader, you know, and that's wow. You know, that's a huge endorsement to receive from Oprah Winfrey, you know, a spiritual leader. I thought she was a pop star, you know.
Right, and even, you know, because we spoke earlier about the fact like the United Nations and the significant vital role the papacy will play in the reunification.
Yes.
But, you know, when you see, you know, the Pope hanging around with certain rock bands, you know, I don't think he's doing that just to appear cool, you know?
Exactly.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah. I actually saw one video, which is just absolutely, it was funny to me and insane to me at the same time. There's a group of breakdancers breakdancing for the Pope, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't even make any sense. But that's right. You know, the Vatican understands the power of the medium of music as well, the medium of entertainment. And that's why you see them, you know, working with guys like Ron Howard behind the scenes when they're putting together movies like Angels and Demons, big films like that. You need to, it should at least make you ask questions, at the very least. Yes.
Yeah. So I know in the last program too, we mentioned that you've had a background in this. Background when you started out, you were in the entertainment industry,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know you see it, you know, through the eyes of the scriptures. Now you see it in its plainness and clarity now as to where it's all leading.
That's
right. And I know that you've done a number of programs that people can view. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to share again with us that information where people can view the programs that you've got.
Sure. You can go to youtube.com/TheForeRunner, TheForeRunner 777. That's once again, youtube.com/TheForeRunner, TheForeRunner 777. And you can see, you know, just a multitude of videos we have over there on subject matter like this and more.
Yeah. So once again, TheForeRunner 777.
Forerunner Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I know you have a number of videos up there that, where you look at some of these issues in more depth. And obviously on the YouTube, you've got the visual as well to go
right.
with it to make things even clearer.
Yeah. To clarify it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, our time is quickly coming to an end. Do you want to maybe, you know, share one comment to sort of in summary and closure?
Well, sure, I do. And it's going back to the statement that you talked about earlier, the threefold union, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. You know, the dragon here being symbolic of spiritualism, the beast being symbolic of the papacy, and the false prophet being symbolic of apostate Protestant movements, but also we see a direct connection here with the United States of America in Book of Revelation, chapter 13, how it would, the United States of America would begin to exercise the power of the papacy and move to bring the nations of the world together to make an image to the papacy, you know, an image of that government structure, a union of church and state. And as we look at what's going on in the entertainment industry, in politics, in religion, we can see that everybody seems to be singing the same tune right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we all need to come together for peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says in the book of, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them like a woman in like travail upon a woman, and they shall not escape.
Mm.
And so we know that as they're saying peace and safety, trouble and destruction is on its way. So our only hope is to really keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the Lamb which takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to highlight the fact, too, well, you know, people will preach, you know, the peace and the safety.
Yes.
We'll deal with your problems of fear, and it all culminate with the National Sunday Law.
That's it. Oh, you got
and
it.
And it will focus on that one key, and that will be the determining factor. Who will you serve?
That's it.
Will you keep the biblical Sabbath of the God of heaven?
Yes.
Saturday? Or will you worship the beast and keep Sunday?
100% with you.
Well, that will be the determining factor.
Yes.
You know, that's the only issue of, are you for us or against us?
That's it.
You know, that's the bottom line.
That's it.
And, for anybody listening, if you would like a copy, we can share a copy of a book called National Sunday Law with you, and it outlines everything we've talked about in much more depth.
Oh, that's right.
So you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. And once again, if you want to listen to any of the programs that Chris has on the YouTube, it's youtube.com/theforerunner777. And you can watch a number of the videos he's got posted up there. You can Google the Forerunner Chronicles, mm-hmm. and find some information. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.